Get back in. Just keep playing music. Got a minute or two. Another minute, Ruben. Doing good. Okay, hallelujah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Amen. It's wonderful to see each and every one of you here today, and we're excited about all that God's going to do. He's just begun. Amen. The atmosphere is set. We're going to speak the word, and then we're going to let God show himself off because he's God, we're not. Amen. Hallelujah. But if you have your Bibles with you this morning, and if you need one, slip up your hand, and I'll get an usher to get you one. Somebody get one in your hand. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles with me this morning to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Now, the Apostle Paul would write to his student Timothy in 2 Timothy, Dusty needs a Bible. Here you go. He's probably got three in his back pocket. Yeah, Dusty, we love you, buddy. Okay. Hallelujah. But the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he was writing to his student, Timothy. He said, Timothy, he said that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It means it's God-inspired. And it's profitable. It's for our benefit, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And Mark 16, at the end of the chapter, we find Jesus is giving the great commission. He comes to the 11 apostles and disciples, and he says to them, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:15. And in my name you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so many times as we're preaching and we're talking about the Great Commission and Matthew 28, and it tells us to go and make disciples and teach all nations, We leave out verse number 14, and that's where the Lord wants to speak to us today in the message this morning. In verse 14, it says, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. The title of this morning's message is The Making of a Miracle. Look to the one next to you and say, you're a miracle in the making. You know, and what I want to share with you this morning is the reproof, the rejection, and the report, okay? And as we speak about this, we'll just pray that God be glorified, magnified, and so let's lift our word together and make a declaration together in the house of God. Repeat after me, say, I believe.
I believe.
This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, Lord, for I am listening. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name. Father, we're so grateful that you sent your word to accomplish what you sent it to do in this house today. So, Father, before I speak this word, Father God, I pray, Father God, that the words that proceed out of my mouth will come from you and not from me. Your word declares that your word will never return to you void. It'll accomplish what you sent it to do. And Father, I know that you have a plan in every heart and every life of each soul that's gathered in this house today. May there not be one of us that leave this place in the same manner, but may we all be changed and transformed into your image, into your glory by the Spirit of God and by your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. You know, one of the things that we sometimes have difficulty doing, because we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, and God isn't here to beat anybody up. How many are happy that God doesn't come to beat you up? God comes in to love on you, to pour out his grace and his mercy and his love. And as his mercy and his grace and his love flows, then we can be open and receptive to receive what he has for each and every one of us. So, don't worry, come on. You're cool. Hallelujah. Please, no one stare at them. I made him not look at you. Hallelujah. You know, when I was looking at that, Jesus, these 11, they're eating their meal. Jesus had died and has risen from the dead. And many had come to them and said, "Hey, I saw Jesus." And some of them just wouldn't believe that he had risen from the dead. So the first thing that Jesus did is he upbraided them. He brought a little correction. He came with a rod of love. And so look with me this morning as we look at that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to look at the reproof first. The reproof. And this, I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 4, 20 and 21. The Word of God says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." Look to the one next to you and say, "It's in power." "What will ye? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness?" You know, my daddy as a young boy, daddy believed in spare the rod, spoil the child. So I had the rod of correction applied to me strategically. All right. And what Jesus is saying, when Jesus is coming there, he's going to bring a rod of correction, but he's going to correct in love. Amen. You know, the Bible says there is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus that walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. In other words, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Jesus is saying, he wanted to let them know that he had told them, he had shared with them everything that was going to take place. He walked with them. They were close to them. They were on his right side and his left side. And they were walking with him. And he was always prophesying and speaking to them. But their ears were deaf to it. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. You say, "Well, Pastor, why are you doing this?" Because there are signs, wonders, and miracles that are going to take place in the house today. And God says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And God's going to establish something, a word of faith in individuals in the room. Amen. And the Bible says if two of us agree touching anything they ask of the Father, it will be done of them. So we're just coming into agreement. Isn't there great? Isn't the agreement great? Amen. Amen. You know, in this world, we can disagree on so many things. In church, we can disagree on so many things. In the Word of God, we can disagree on so many things. And that's what the adversary wants us to do. He wants us to go around all the time in disagreement because there's power in agreement. Amen? So what the adversary doesn't want us to do, he doesn't want us to agree on anything. Jesus said, the writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 12:5. He says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto us as unto children. He said, My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Amen? In other words, when his rod of love and his rod of correction comes, it's because he has great plans. And if you see your child, your infant child, or your baby child playing on the highway, you're not going to turn your head. You're going to share love. And when you share love, you might correct them with that rod of love. Parents, young parents, never spank your children in anger. Back off a moment. Let them understand why they're being spanked and apply it in love. And it becomes a rod of love and not done out of anger. Because when it's done out of anger, it has an adverse effect on the child. Hey, that was free. Now listen to me. Pastor doesn't have any right to tell you how to raise your children. That's between you and God. But I can share with you according to God's word. Amen. Amen. And let me tell you something. When you correct your child in love, it'll have a greater effect than it ever did in anger. Hello? Because love will cover a multitude of sins. Amen. Hey, man, I don't know about you, but God is love. And what's filling this room is the spirit of love. God loves you no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through. God's love is abounding to everyone in the room. Amen. Matter of fact, Jesus, when he was writing to the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, he said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." In other words, the correction comes, amen, when the correction comes, it comes to convict us. When conviction comes, it comes to convince us. And when we're convinced, we convert. How many converts do we have in the room? Wait a minute. Okay. Amen. So in other words, as God's word goes forth, it's coming forth to correct us when we're in error. All right? To convict us of it. Convict us of our sin. So we turn from it. To convince us. Amen. And then we become converted. That's why the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2, he's writing to his student Timothy. He said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap up to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." In other words, it's the truth that makes us free. Amen? You know, in other words, God has a straight line. But because of the Holy Spirit, he kind of is grading us on the curve. And he's grading us on the curve because of our trust in Jesus Christ. Because he is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. And he is the one that started a good work in each and every one of us. And he's faithful to see it through. Amen. In other words, when we start out on a destination, when we leave our house, we don't automatically get to where we're going. There's a route that we take to get to the end, to our destination. And we're all on a road, and we all have a destination. God's destination for everyone in the room is heaven. Amen. He has a plan for every heart and every life in the room. All he says to you and I is if you will trust him with all your heart and stop leading to your own understanding and all your ways acknowledge him, and he's going to give you direction in your life. And his direction is to prosper you. Amen. His way is to prosper you. He wishes above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. In other words, God wants you to prosper, not only in the natural, but he wants you to prosper in the physical, and he wants us to prosper in the spiritual also. Amen. I want you to understand something with me. Everything takes place in the spirit before it ever manifests in the natural. Amen. God says without vision, his people perish. God wants you to catch a vision for your life. The Bible says without vision, the people perish. So if you don't have a vision for your life, you're just going through life aimlessly. What I'd say is, Lord, give me a vision for my life. Lord, give me a big vision. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I choose not to think small. Well, why don't you think small, Pastor Carl? Because I serve a big God. I said that is able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever I even ask for, even expect it. Why serve a great big God? Why should I be kept my mind and my heart, my life in a box? Amen. Hey, God wants you to know you serve a big God. Amen. And all he wants us to do, you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to expand the borders of our thinking. So many times our thinking is stinking thinking. That's what happened with the disciples. They had the testimony of others that Jesus had risen from the dead, and they went back to the old stuff, and old Thomas said, oh, unless I can put my hands in the nail prints of his hand, or unless I can thrust my hand in his side, I won't believe. Jesus appeared to Thomas again and said, Thomas, my hands and my side. Thomas said, my Lord, my God. All of a sudden, and Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, you have seen and believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and still believe, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Come on now. Come on. You might not see your answer, but in faith, you got to believe it. You got to trust it. You got to see yourself. You got to see yourself healed, whole, blessed, walking in favor. Amen. I don't know about you, but you're the favorite of God. And you know what? We're all the favorite of God because he doesn't have favorites. You know, I tell you, no matter how much I get on my face before the Lord, no matter how much I get into his word, no matter how much I commune with him, he doesn't love me any more than he loves the one that's not even looking at him. Amen? He loves us. He's an equal opportunity lover. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so many times, see, in this world we live in, you have to look like this, you got to walk like that, you got to act like this, you got to talk like that, and to be in the world. God says, hey, guess what? I created you after my own image. I love you just the way you are. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. Anybody else happy in the house? See, he abraded them. What did he abrade them for? For their unbelief and their hardness of their heart. Amen. Turn with me to Acts 28. The Apostle Paul says in verse number 24, Paul speaking to the Jews here, he says, some believe and some don't. And today, the truth of the matter is, some will believe and some won't. But the word's still going forth. What you do with it is between you and him. You know, I'm not responsible for what you do with it. All he asked me to do is deliver it. I'm just a delivery man. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, when you're in a fine diner and went to a fine, classy restaurant, And your waitress or your waiter waited on you and served you your meal, you would give them a tip. The going rate's 20%, right? A tip. I don't want your money. But when the word comes forth, I want you to give God praise. You know what the tip is? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I tell you, if you don't say amen or hallelujah, I don't think you get it, and I got to keep on the subject. And when the stomachs start growling, that pastor just wouldn't shut up. Hallelujah. See how it works. I'll move on. But in Acts 28, verse number 24, it says, "And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken one word, well saith the Holy Ghost, by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go ye into all the people, and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. I am the Lord
that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and to heal your disease. I am the Lord, your healer.
One more time.
I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. You sent your word and heal my disease. I am the Lord, your healer.
Amen. Give God some praise. He's the Lord, our healer. Now, aren't you all grateful that when I begin to sing, they take over? That somebody should be shouting praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Turn with me to John chapter 12. He said, for their unbelief and hardness of heart. I want you to understand it's all about Jesus. Everything we need is in that name. In John chapter 12, verse 44, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on. He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Amen. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words have one that judgeth him, the Father. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I knew that the commandments is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so speak. In other words, he is speaking about life. He's speaking about the abundance. Jesus didn't come into the world to judge anyone. God didn't send any of us to judge. God didn't call me to judge you. God called me to love you, to share his love, to share his word. Amen. And show you that, hey, one day he's going to be like Flip Wilson. Here comes the judge. But the judge isn't here yet. The judge isn't coming till the trumpet sounds. And the dead in Christ are raised, and those that are alive are called out to meet the Lord in the air to ever be with the Lord. There's a coming a time of judgment, and judgment isn't today. But he says to you and I, it says for you and I to be prepared and ready.
Amen.
Amen. Because when he comes, he's coming in a moment, in a blinking of an eye. Blink your eyes once. I tried this one time. I said, well, I'm going to wait till he returns to repent. Try to say, forgive me, Lord, and blink it one time. See if you can get in there. Does it work? I couldn't do it. You know, that's how fast he's going to return. And he tells you and I to be prepared and be ready, because he comes in such an hour in which we think not. And I tell you what, if you look at the prophetic clock, things are being established. I'll tell you what, there's a shifting that's in the heavenlies right now. And I tell you, there's the glory is getting ready to be poured out like never before for the kingdom of God. Amen. I believe there's an end time harvest of souls like never before. I believe all of those rebellious Christians that are living half-heartedly, God's going to speak to them because they know the word, and they're going to come back alive. Amen. Amen. I don't believe God's going to, I believe he's going to take more with them than he leaves behind. Amen. Amen. We've been praying for our sons and our daughters and family members, and God has a plan in their lives. Amen. You're not here by accident today. Amen. Because faith is coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. It begins with just making a decision for him. Praise God. Look with me in John chapter 11. We have the reproof. They had rejected him. And then he said they didn't believe the report. They didn't believe the ones that had spoke to him about his resurrection, about him being risen. And I said the report. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is John chapter 11. So tell me, John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? In other words, he was just about to raise Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus came and was raised from the dead, but Lazarus died again. But Jesus was giving him a revelation. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me shall never die. In other words, what he was saying, when our trust in Jesus, we go from life to life. I don't believe the child of God ever witnesses death. Others may witness your death, but I believe we go from absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's in a moment. All of a sudden, everyone's looking at this corpse or this dead body, this shell that's there, but you're already in the presence of God. Amen. 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 So for a child of God, I want you to understand something. Even though we lose our loved ones or our loved ones pass away, it's a celebration. Amen. It's a celebration. There's a celebration in heaven. I can just see him breaking forth. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when you know that you're never going to die because of your trust in Jesus, you don't fear death. You don't fear sickness and disease, because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. Because fear has torment, but perfect love is going to cast out that fear. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm doing a funeral Tuesday for Addie Showalter. Now, Mac, he did our heating and cooling in the basement and did the central vac. He donated the central vac here in the basement. And he's a great man. He loves the Lord. We're celebrating Addie's life. It's a celebration service. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's because, you know, she was bedridden for a little while. And I don't understand why God doesn't heal every sick person, but I believe God should heal every sick person. Amen? Amen? And I want to get in line with him and say, see it all be glorified, see it be magnified, see it all be done. Amen? Amen? You know, the half the time what gets in his way is us. Amen? Because when he said it was finished, it was done. There was nothing else that needs to be done. So when I was thinking of that resurrection and life, the Lord took me to 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll get ready to close here in a minute. 1 Corinthians 15, 34, where the Word of God says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Amen. In other words, God has come to set captives free. Amen. You know, the Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 4, Pastor, why you have all this word? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The word of God says in 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and it first begins with us. What shall the end be to them that obey not the gospel of Christ? I want you to understand something with me today in closing. That the Lord is not slack concerning his promises like some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward usward. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Well, you know what repentance is? It's changing our mind. It's changing our direction. You know, he upbraided his disciples. He corrected them, right? He because they had rejected him, he corrected them. But then also, he comforted them and still anointed them to go forth. Amen. And sometimes in life we feel like we've messed up and God can't use me because I did this or did that. I want you to know his grace is abounding to everyone in the room. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. So in closing today, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, he said, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Hallelujah. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So in closing today, what is the Lord saying to you and I today? Look at the one next to you and say, you're a making of a miracle. There's a miracle at work in you. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes in the closing moments of this service? The Word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall I call upon him in whom I have not believed? How shall I believe in him in whom I have not heard? And how shall I hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? God sent the word to you, and he's saying to you today, for whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved. And if you're here today and you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe one time you did, but you drifted away, he is saying to you today, behold, I'm standing at your heart's door and I'm knocking. If you hear my voice, will you open up the door and let me in? And if you are here today and you need Jesus, would you just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. Is there anybody at all? Don't be afraid. It's the greatest decision you ever make. Nobody in this place will judge you in any way. This is between you and the Lord. Is that you? Would you slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. Is that you? I've tried it my own way and it's not working. I need his help. Is that you? Is that you? Come on. I know the Lord's best ministering to hearts. Okay. I see the hand. You may put it down. Is there another one? Hallelujah. Pastor, I'm not at that place I need to be. I'm going to surrender. I surrender today. I'm going to ask us, you all, to stand. I said it was between you and the Lord. The Lord saw who raised their hand. I saw who raised their hand. But I want to pray together. We're going to do a corporate prayer together. And if you say this prayer and you mean it with your heart, the Word of God declares that whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. So can we pray this prayer as a congregation? Pray this prayer not to me, not answering me, but pray it to Jesus. Say, dear Jesus, come into my life as my Lord and my Savior. I acknowledge you died on the cross. You arose from the grave. You paid the penalty for my sins. You purchased me a place in heaven. Father, forgive me my sins, write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, Lord, your word declares, if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? I'm asking. Holy Spirit, take residence within me in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul and making me whole. In Jesus' name, amen.